This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Yes, we are live at spring training. College is the topic, as is the president, as is Paul Manafort. We got a lot going on today, kids, in our final hour together today at the Drive at 5, 855-839-1210. The Zioli Show on Twitter at Rich Zioli. I have a couple of questions to ask you. But first, Dawn, you mentioned, you texted me, you said a good point, too. They also, what do? They manipulated the ACT tests, right?
Yeah, so in other words, standardized testing that students will take, and they look at those scores. So right. They either allegedly paid somebody to take the test for their kid, or they paid off insiders to alter the answers that the kids actually put on. So it
involves
a little
different than just giving the maitre d' a 20, you know.
Yeah, because these involve, you know, standardized testing. So now you're, you know, the mail and wire fraud is a big one. But in other words, it's actually tampering with the system. And the NCAA, that's interesting, too, that they're looking at, for example, the actress we've been talking about, her two daughters allegedly had crew scholarships. So and they never did crew.
No.
Which my son does crew, you know, Michael does crew. So that is such hard work. It's 6 days a week. You know, you're up at 5 in the morning, you're practicing. It's a lot of work. I'm amazed nobody turned these people in just because they were mad. You know, they could see that people weren't doing the sports work. So that's a whole different angle.
Yeah, a lot of people are probably realizing this is happening. They probably didn't even know what was going on, to be honest with you. A lot of the kids, I would think.
Well, that's what's interesting. Yesterday they said, the Fed said, look, most of the students really didn't know. Today they're saying some students may be charged. So there are students in colleges right now that are affected by this. So I guess they're looking through to find out if they can prove who knew, who did not know.
Listen, you got to go back to the good old days, Dawn. You know what the good old days were?
What?
You just lied about being a Native American in your college application. Just made it easier for everybody. All right? You just lied about your ethnicity. The good old days. By the way, I'm drinking Yine line. It's a, I don't know what this is. It's just like a soda. It's just like a soda.
Soda?
Yeah. Ying something or other. John Brazier gave it to me. I think it's
Yingling, you silly.
Oh, is that what it is? I don't even know. Is that, I can't even, my eyes are shot here. I can't even see. Anyway, it's cool. I got the best view of the ballpark right now. The game's in Tampa, though, tonight against the Yankees, but it's fun being down here. I'll tell you, we got to go now. You got to come down next year. You got to bring the boys.
Oh, just rub it in.
I know.
Greg and I
know.
Are like,
brr.
No, I'm kidding.
This
no,
was
they
all
would love
put
it.
Together a little last minute,
yeah,
you know.
That's
so
right.
I mean, look, I obviously, you know, Bridget and the kids, it would have been nice if they came too. And so you know, the problem is when you're down here by yourself and you don't know what to eat, and you know, you're not very healthy, and you wind up just pulling into a place and walking in there, and all they serve are chicken wings, and you know, spend a few hours there, and you know, you need your wife there to keep you healthy, you know what I mean? So
is this Hooters, the French cuisine
place? Hooters, yeah, French. They do that wings breaded or naked, as they call them.
Oh.
So you know, I'm low carb, I do the naked.
See,
anyway, Elizabeth Warren, by the way, was asked about the scandal, if she has any sympathy.
So as a parent, how much sympathy would you have for these parents who are embroiled in this alleged cheating scandal?
Zero.
Okay. Follow up, Mika, if I could help you out there doing your job for a second. How much sympathy should we feel for you since you lied about being a Native American to get into college? Zero. She actually did. That was her answer today. Zero. None.
Zero.
So, but she did do that. She lied, you know.
Is there proof that that helped her gain entrance, though?
Well, that's always the question, but considering that it was a liberal school and it was the 70s and she pretended like she was, you know, her ancestors were killed at Wounded Knee. You know, I mean, I think that basically it certainly didn't hurt.
Zero.
You know?
Zero.
Yeah,
zero.
Zero.
Okay.
It certainly did not hurt things for her, that's for sure. But today, the RNC asked a question, which I thought was a really good question, actually. I'll pull up this email for you. This was from, where'd they put it here now? Kelly Graberman from the RNC asked this question. Because remember, Elizabeth Warren's running for president now. She said, Elizabeth Warren said this morning that she has zero sympathy for the parents involved in the college admissions cheating scandal. This is incredibly rich, coming from someone who lied about being a minority to climb the Ivy League ladder. Background on Elizabeth Warren's history of falsely claiming minority status. From 1986 to 1995, Warren listed herself as a minority in a directory used for legal faculty hiring. Warren also identified as American Indian in 1986 on her Texas bar registration card. This leaves the question, why did Warren go back to listing herself as white after she joined the ranks of Harvard Law School? So she went back and called herself white. Yeah, that's why I used to joke and call her the former Native American. It's because of that, because she was Native American for years, and then she went back to being a white person. Now I just call her the undocumented Native American because she doesn't have the paperwork from the Cherokee Nation, which is easier that way, too. Zero. So it's an interesting question. Why, you know, other people who've also faked things on their college applications and that sort of thing, you know, like pretending that they were an American Indian. Just throwing it out there. Just food for thought. Why do you want the boys to go to college, your boys?
I think it does matter, the truth of the fact. I mean, my parents couldn't pay for my college. I waitressed my way through journalism school. Mm-hmm. But I think that degree does matter. So in other words, at the School of Journalism in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, I was required to maintain a 3.4 GPA. I had exactly a 3 because I worked full time. So I had exactly a 3.4 GPA. And so to the caller who says his dad got sick of kids saying, what's going to be on the exam? Like, when you've worked a breakfast shift or an overnight shift and you're trying to pay for school and you've taken out the max in loans, you just want to get the degree. Because right. The real truth is that the degree, unless you're a doctor or something, I think in a lot of professions, I don't know that degree, in all honesty, fully prepares you for that career.
No,
I'm just being honest.
No.
And so I think it's, you know, but it does matter, because people want to know that you have that university degree. And if you go to a prestigious place, boom, you're ahead of the game. That's just the way it is. It's not fair, and I don't think it's right, but it's the way it is.
I used to call it Ivy League privilege. I used to say the greatest privilege was Ivy League privilege, because if you graduate with an Ivy League degree, even if you're a total dumbass, it opens doors for you that other people don't have those doors. You know, it's just the way it goes. It was a podcaster who went to Harvard who said that when he got there, they said to him, you're at Harvard now, so as long as you just get your degree, you're good. You're good. You have an Ivy League degree. You're fine. Your life is going to be okay. You're going to be taken care of. That's a big privilege right there, I'll tell you, that not a lot of other people have. You go to a state school, and then somebody else goes to an Ivy League school. If you want to be a lawyer or a doctor or something like that. Now, I know a guy who actually made himself black to get into Harvard Law School. And he got in because it was Harvard Law School. So he made his face, he darkened his face with shoe polish.
Stop.
I believe that was a movie, Stop. Right?
It was what?
It was a movie.
Or a governor.
Governor movie.
Well, so that's interesting. So there's the governor of Virginia who did darken his face to be Michael Jackson. There is a guy who got into Harvard Law School by darkening his face to get into Harvard Law School. Wait, Greg, you're saying that's a movie?
I believe that was the...
Oh, Soul Man, in other words. You're saying that the movie Soul Man did not actually happen.
80s
Thank
movie.
God.
Soul Man with, I think it was C. Thomas Howell. Yes.
Thomas Howell, and I believe Ray Dong Chung was in that as well.
Yes. No, it really was. Tommy Chong's daughter.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. See that?
I never saw
that. That's what I would do. Very, very competitive out there. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. By the way, there's a breaking story regarding the FBI and Lisa Page and Hillary Clinton, and I got to get to that as well. President's tweeting out about that. The president's also furiously tweeting about Paul Manafort and New York State. And, man, this is blowing up here. Manafort indicted by New York State prosecutors after federal sentencing, mortgage fraud conspiracy, 7.5 years total. Is a Trump pardon coming? It's looking more and more like that, just to stick it to New York State. The problem, though, of course, is that New York State, the president's pardon would not affect New York State. So then the question becomes, would it be better not to pardon him now, considering that it's only an indictment at this point, hasn't gone to a jury yet. If the president pardons him, is a jury in New York more or less likely to then convict Manafort based on the president's pardon? So that's a question as well that has to be asked as well. 855-839-1210 is our number. JJ is in Hilltown. JJ's been holding for quite some time. JJ, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
So the question I have is, how much different is this than David Hogg getting into Harvard? The kid had a 1270 SAT score, and you have to have at least a 1400 to be in Harvard, let alone a 1470 to be considered. So isn't
well,
that
I, look. I mean, you could be annoyed at that. I don't think it has anything to do with the other thing, though.
Yeah, but it's still a privilege of getting into the school. And also, if these parents did it legally, would anyone truly have a problem spending millions of dollars to get into school?
But they didn't do it legally. That's the point, though. They forged tests. They forged being on student teams. They did all those things. I mean,
no,
you could be annoyed. Listen, you could be annoyed that Harvard accepted David Hogg because he doesn't meet the academic criteria, but that has nothing to do with this.
You convinced me. No argument there.
All right. I mean, two things can tick you off. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You know what I mean? The fact is that David Hogg getting into Harvard is because he's on TV. He's an anti-gun guy. He's always on television. And it looks good for Harvard to have him in there. You're exactly right. No doubt about it. Thank you for the call, bud. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. All right. So here's what's breaking news right now. The House Judiciary Committee Republicans on Tuesday released hundreds of pages of transcripts from last year's closed-door interview with ex-FBI attorney Lisa Page, revealing new details about the Bureau's controversial internal discussions regarding an insurance policy against then-candidate Donald Trump. You know how I always talk about a police state with you? This is the police state here. Lisa Page first entered the spotlight in December 2017 when it was revealed by the Justice Department's Inspector General that she and then FBI Special Agent Peter Strozak exchanged numerous anti-Trump text messages. The two were already involved in the FBI's initial counterintelligence investigation into Russia meddling and potentially collusion with Trump's campaign associates during the 2016 election, later served on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team. Among their texts was one concerning the so-called insurance policy. During her interview with the Judiciary Committee in July of 2018, Lisa Page was questioned at length about that text and essentially confirmed this referred to the Russia investigation while explaining that officials were proceeding with caution, concerned about the implications of the case, while not wanting to go at total breakneck speed and risk burning sources as they presume Trump wouldn't be elected anyway. Further, she confirmed investigators only had a paucity of evidence at the start. Then Representative Trey Gowdy of South Carolina kicked off that section of questioning by asking about the text sent from Peter Strozak to Lisa Page in August 2016, which read, quote, "I want to believe the path you threw out in Andy's office," it's Andy McCabe, "that there's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. The former FBI lawyer explained how the FBI was trying to strike a balance with the investigation into the Trump campaign, which agents called Crossfire Hurricane. So upon the opening of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, we had a number of discussions up through and including the director regularly, in which we were trying to find an answer to the question, which is there someone associated with the Trump campaign who is working with the Russians in order to obtain damaging information about Hillary Clinton? And given that it is August, we were very aware of the speed and sensitivity that we needed to operate under." She continued, "If the answer is, this is a guy just being puffery at a meeting with other people, great. Then we don't need to worry about this and we can all move on with our lives. If this is, in fact, the Russians have co-opted an individual with, you know, maybe wittingly or unwittingly, that's incredibly grave. We need to know that as quickly as possible." She explained that the text message reflected their continuing check-in as to how quickly to operate. "We don't need to go at total breakneck speed because so long as he doesn't become president, there isn't the same threat to national security." While saying that if Trump were not elected president, the Bureau would still investigate. But she writes, she told lawmakers, if he becomes president, that totally changes the game because now he is the president. He's going to immediately start receiving classified briefings. He's going to be exposed to the most sensitive secrets imaginable. And if there is somebody on his team who wittingly or unwittingly is working with the Russians, that is super serious. She made clear, though, that those involved did not think Trump would beat Clinton. So this reflects, let's be reasonable, let's not, you know, throw the kitchen sink at this because he's probably not going to be elected. And so then we don't have to be, you know, quite as horrific at a national security threat than if he does get elected. Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, I call him Strozak because that's what Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman called him, and Mr. Strozak. Page also spoke to how little information the Bureau was starting with, saying the FBI knew so little about whether the allegations were true or not true and had a lot of evidence because we were just starting down the path of vetting the allegations. She later said that all they needed was an allegation and claimed it is entirely common, particularly in a counterintelligence investigation, that you would only have a small amount of evidence in launching a probe. Now, this is proof positive here that Lisa Page and her lover, Peter Strzok, were so incredibly against this guy becoming president that without any evidence of a crime, without any evidence that Donald Trump did anything with the Russians, they had the glimpse that maybe it's possible he could have. Therefore, let's open an investigation and let's have an insurance policy in case the guy wins. They didn't have any evidence of anything. They had zero evidence that Donald Trump did anything inappropriate or wrong or colluded with Russia or that anybody in his team did. Zero. But they did it anyway. They used that little tiny little glimpse of something to then turn around and say, now let's go full bore investigation and with an insurance policy just in case the guy wins, even though we don't think he's going to win. That's not how it's supposed to work. As we're down here in spring training and we're hanging out, John Brazier's about to take off. John, I just want to thank you for everything, by the way. Thanks for your hospitality down here in Clearwater.
Rich, it's going to be an annual tradition.
I love it. Annual tradition, although I think I'm just not going to go back to Philly then after this. I'm just going to stay down here the whole week.
And eat more grouper.
Yeah. Grouper, the new mission. The official fish of the Zioli Show, grouper. I don't think we're really grouper people, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Bronzini.
Once you have the bronze grouper from the Beachcomber, you're going to be a grouper person.
That's where you're headed tonight, right?
No, tonight's Palm Pavilion. That's another great grouper.
Palm Pavilion.
That's a grouper rap there.
A grouper rap, yes. Grouper gets a bad rap, doesn't it?
No, grouper's got a great rap down here, except for Mama Zioli. and as Dave the engineer said, it must have been frozen grouper.
It was Jersey grouper.
Jersey grouper, right. Jersey three-eyed grouper from Salem County. Swims right by the nuclear. Yeah. All right, what am I doing here, Greg? What do I got to do here?
You got to do Natural Lawn of America.
Natural Lawn of America. I'm looking at this beautiful green lawn, John. This is a beautiful lawn here. This is what are they? Every day they got to mow this baby or what? What do they got to do with this lawn?
Look, our ground crew guy is so good down here, Opie, that he actually has a bobblehead doll. He might be the only groundskeeper in Major League Baseball or minor league baseball that has his own bobblehead doll.
No kidding.
Yes, and that's why this grass looks so green.
He's got a bobblehead doll, the groundskeeper. I love it.
Rake the whole deal, just like that the one guy. What's that one guy from Scotts?
Scotts. You met Bill Murray once. Did you ever talk to him about his groundkeeping days?
I did not, and I told you I was completely intimidated. We talked off the air that, you know, both you and I deal with a lot of celebrities, and normally I'm nonplussed. It's you see guys all the time, and I deal with the celebrities all the time. For some reason, Bill Murray was the owner of minor league baseball teams, and he was at some convention, a baseball convention. I was there, and there was a line to meet Bill Murray, and a lot of people said, "Hey, let's get in line." So I just got in line. I wasn't paying attention because it was my turn, I guess, you know, that to meet Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And I turned around, and Bill Murray, I didn't realize how tall he was, and he's staring down at me, and I just was speechless. I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh. And he gave me but love Bill Murray, everything about Bill Murray.
Who are some of the other big names you've had to escort to? Who are some major players that, like, people that have thrown out the first pitch or something like that?
No, we've had tons. We've had, I've gotten to know, I actually watched a baseball game, an entire baseball game in Dunedin, which is one town over where the Toronto Blue Jays play. I watched an entire game with Art Garfunkel, which is a lot of fun. We've hired him a bunch of times to do it. Eddie Vedder, couldn't be a nicer guy. Big baseball fan, loves the Cubs. I took him around a couple times. When we had the World Series of the Yankees, we had Tom Brokaw. We've had Meatloaf. We've had the Dave Matthews Band. We've had Kenny Chesney. We've had, you know, a lot of we had Uncle Junior from The Sopranos. You had
Uncle June.
Yeah, one of my favorites is we had Bradley Cooper, Renee Zellweger, and Zach Galifianakis. You know, shortly after The Hangover, all came down to a game, which was hilarious. Zach Galifianakis stayed in character. I think that's either him or he just stays in character.
Well, thank you for having me. Thanks to the Phillies for having us. It's been a lot of fun.
Rich, it's been great, and I loved your interviews. I really mean it. It was. I think they really enjoyed talking non-baseball because they get slammed with baseball all the time. And again, we're making this an annual tradition because you are now a fixture in Clearwater.
See that? And it's good to not talk baseball since I don't know a damn thing about baseball. So it works out. Everybody wins, John. Everybody wins.
I love it.
See that? All right, brother. Thank you very much. And you brought me some Asher's chocolates, so I'll give them another plug. So delicious Asher's chocolates. Thank you to Asher's. All right. So the Paul Manafort prosecution, the indictment in New York is, as I've mentioned several times today, entirely designed so that the president, even if he pardons Paul Manafort, the pardon becomes irrelevant because when a state prosecutes you, a presidential pardon doesn't matter. Presidential pardons only deal with federal crimes, not state crimes. This, of course, is also designed so that Manafort, if he does know anything that he hasn't said because he was hoping for a presidential pardon for the federal stuff, will then help the state of New York in their quest to bring down the president and his family. I've been telling you about this. I hate to say I'm right, but I'm often right. Jay Leno, you know, famous guy, very funny guy. Jay Leno, I think we can all agree that late night comedy has changed a lot in the last few years under Donald Trump. I think most of the comedians on TV, they have a nightly agenda. They are they're highly partisan. And it's fine to be partisan if you're funny. I just don't find these guys funny. I think their humor is just very, very, it's vindictive. It's very vitriolic. And so that, for them, being political matters more than being funny. And I'm sorry, but your job first is to entertain first and to be political second. And they don't do a good job of that. Well, the former host of The Tonight Show was asked about that. Take a listen.
It's been 5 years since you left The Tonight
right.
Show. And you see the place we are right now mm-hmm. in this country. Do you miss being on the show, or is it such a different time that it would be hard to do?
No, it's a different time. I don't miss it. You know, everything now is, if people don't like your politics, everyone has to know your politics. When people see you as one-sided, it just makes it tough. And plus, you know, I did it when, you know, Clinton was horny and Bush was dumb, and it was just a little easier.
You're mad.
Now it's all very serious. Everything is just so I just like to see a bit of civility come back to it, you know? The theory when we did the show was you just watch the news, we'll make fun of the news and get your mind off the news. Mm-hmm. Well, now people just want to be on the news all the time.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
You just have one subject, so it's the same topic every night, which makes it very hard. I mean, all the comics, Jimmy and Colbert and everybody else, it's tough when that's the only topic
everything.
Out there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's right about that. Johnny Carson was asked years ago, of course, for so many people, Johnny Carson really truly the pioneer of late night comedy. He wasn't the first, but I think he was really the first to make it the way it certainly was, not it is anymore. But most people would agree that Johnny Carson really carved out that genre. And this is what he said years ago about it.
When you come out and do your monologues, which are really based on what you've read, do you go home and worry about things? Do you worry about this country? Are there things that really bug you that you can't say in the air?
You're going to get serious, aren't you?
A little bit.
I think one of the dangers, if you are a comedian, which basically I am, if you start to take yourself too seriously and start to comment on social issues, your sense of humor suffers somewhere. I've seen other people whose names I won't mention, who mm-hmm. do humor. And then somewhere along the line, they start to want to make their views known. I try to do it humorously.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to, and we've had some criticism on the show. Some critics over the years says, well, the show has no great sociological value. It's not controversial. It's not deep. The Tonight Show basically is to amuse people, to make them laugh.
Do you get sensitive about the fact that people say, he'll never take a serious controversy? Well, I have an answer to that. I said, now, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, any comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that? But you're not. Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? That's a danger. It's a real danger. Once you start that, you start to get that self-important feeling that what you say has great import. And you know, strangely enough, you could use that show as a forum. You could sway people. And I don't think you should as an entertainer.
And you know, it's one thing to make jokes. It's another thing when you take yourself so seriously. And I think he makes a great point on that. You look at Stephen Colbert, you look at some of these people, they believe that their job every night is to help shape national opinion. Your job's not to shape national opinion. Look, I realized a long time ago that the truth of the matter is that you're a smart person. You're going to come to the show, you're going to be entertained, I'm going to inform you, we're going to inform you, we'll hopefully give you some laughs, but I can't change how you think about something. I can give you my opinion, I can try to urge you to look at an issue from the way I view an issue, but I respect you as an intelligent person that you're, at the end of the day, you're going to make your own decision. Sometimes you're going to agree with me, sometimes you're not. And I think the problem is with a lot of these late night comics, they don't view the people who listen to them as individuals who go out there and are able to think independently of them. They view people to think independently. Like Stephen Colbert looks at somebody like you or me with disdain, absolute disdain. And it's not even a question of, I'll point out through a satirical way of why my side's right and their side's wrong, which is something we strive to do on this program. We try to use humor and satire. You know, early on, people would say, why do you play all these clips? And why do you make all these jokes? And your show gets too silly. And because I believe that you can really open people's eyes to things by making them laugh versus just pounding your fist on the table every single day, day in, day in, day out. But I also understand that even as I try to open people's eyes to things, that they're not always going to come along. But I don't have disdain for people. I think Colbert genuinely has disdain for Trump supporters. I think he really does. I think that Seth Meyers does. I think a lot of Seth Meyers, who hosts another show on late night TV, I think these guys just don't respect anybody who has a different view than they do. But the problem is those are not political shows. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a show that is geared in politics. Those shows are supposed to be geared in entertainment. That's the difference. You know, that's the difference right there. And I think that what Jay Leno says is a good point. The other thing to remember, too, though, is that remember that if you're a comedian who goes and says things that the left doesn't like, they will work day in and day out to get you fired, to get you to be banned from campus, to never show up again. They'll interrupt your show in the middle of the show. See, that's the difference. I don't like Colbert. I don't think he's funny. I just don't watch the guy. I happen to find Bill Maher very funny. I used to think Jon Stewart was very funny. I don't agree with those guys politically, obviously. I mean, a couple things here and there, but for the most part, I mean, it could be more night and day, right? But I find them funny, their approach, not all the time, but for the most part. But remember, though, with the left, I just don't watch. If I don't like a show, you're probably the same way. You just don't watch it. What they do, though, is they work to get comedians who don't subscribe to their view of the world. They try to get them fired. If you're not woke, you're fired. And they'll go back in time and bring up stuff that you did. They'll come at you full bore. They'll give a pass to other people, but they'll come after you if you're not on their team. So not only does Jay Leno make a point about not wanting to do it anymore because of the fact it's too serious, but I've heard from comedians. I mean, I was with Dennis Miller. You know, we did a couple shows. I was there, introduced him. And I've talked to him backstage about this. And he said, you know, the problem today is that there are a lot of people who believe that they're only woke if they jump up and they show you why you're not woke. And so they can't just even relax and take a joke. They feel like they've got to jump up and expose your lack of wokeness. And I just think that's ridiculous, if you ask me. It's absolutely ridiculous. They're going after Bernie Sanders now. Back in 1986, Bernie Sanders, the godfather of socialism. I don't know if he was in the Soviet Union bare-chested singing at this point or not. And Greg, can we even play this word on the air is my question.
Well, I mean, the word, it means stingy. I mean, it's an actual word. Mm-hmm. But it's just, he could have used the word stingy instead of the word that he used. I mean, it's like, it's not the derogatory word that it sounds. It's just that now all of a sudden it's becoming like a thing on Twitter. And
but if we play it though, it's different than if he says it, right? This is the question.
I don't know. I kind of put it there at last minute and sent it to you. I didn't know if you wanted to play it or not, but yes, it's an actual word. It means stingy, but he could have used the word stingy, instead he used this word, and it's becoming.
See, I don't know, but I don't know if we can play it because I know that he could say it, but I don't know if we could say it.
Well, even playing
the context of him saying
it. I see what you're saying. Because of the radio station we work on, will it be said, you know, Rich Zioli, you know, this. But it, like, it's an actual word. You know what I mean?
I know. It's the N-word, by the way, for stinginess. It's but the problem is, though, if it's said on this air, on these airwaves, they'll take it out of context.
I see what you're saying.
And then they'll use it against us, even though we're just playing Bernie saying it.
Media Matters will string it together and make it, you know, make a boycott for this radio station. No,
because they're awful, horrible human beings. That's why. And I know that I'm wondering what Dawn's judgment on this, or whether or not we could play Bernie Sanders saying it.
Dawn is the voice of reason on our show.
She is the voice of reason.
Can't you just just beep it a little bit?
It's an actual word, though. Like, it's not, like, if you look in the dictionary, it's a word. Like,
I know, it's an actual word.
Yes.
And yet the only reason why it's coming out today is because the left has decided this word is written out racist.
Exactly.
Right? That's why we're talking about this.
That's the absurdity of it.
It's literally the only reason why this is even in my show sheet is because they've discovered Bernie Sanders saying this in 1986 and have now decided it's now a racist word.
Yep.
We live in very, very amazing upside down times.
This filled my timeline last night of people just debating whether he should have said this or not. I was like, what alternate universe am I in?
Seriously?
Yes.
See, now, if we play it, they'll go, oh, they were just dying to play it.
Yes.
Yeah, Zioli was just waiting for the time. They were just waiting. So wait, am I going to have trouble getting out of here tomorrow, Dawn? Because I think I'm flying at a Boeing.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what I'm flying on. It's American Airlines. You think it's going to be bad?
You better call. You can look it up.
Yeah. I'm surprised Evil Jared even put me on an airplane. I'm surprised. I'm sure it's not just like a jetpack he gave me or something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. A jetpack.
Actually, a jetpack would be cool.
No, it went viral because people were saying, "Wait, my husband's on a flight midair and they grounded the plane he's on."
So midair.
You know what I mean? Like the flight took off and then they announced it and said these planes are grounded.
Wow.
So
but they let so the plane is just hovering in the air, like they won't
let
it.
No,
land.
You may not land.
You may not land. You're just going to run out of gas.
Stay in there, don't leave.
No, in other words, it left its, you know, whatever. They allowed it to go to its destination if it was already in the air.
If it already took off. Air.
Yeah.
Right. It was in the air. I don't think we could say that word. I'm looking at reaction from people, and they're saying that
just beep it out.
But it's a word. It's an actual word.
Yeah, I know,
it's an actual.
I would just beep it. What?
But then there's no point even playing it because you won't even hear it.
No. It's just funny. But it's funny the way he says it. I don't know. I don't know why.
Look. These are times in radio we want to make sure we're doing everything right.
Oh yes,
just only because of the rabid people that are out there is all I mean. You know what I mean? So we've already offended the grouper people tonight. We've offended the Scientologists this week. I mean, who else can we tick off this week? Is my question. It's only Wednesday, by the way. We got a lot of time left. Thank God. Our buddy Rich from Walla Walla, Washington said a Republican got in trouble for using the word. Hope Bernie suffers for it. Who was the one who got in trouble for saying that word? It's the N-word for being stingy. You're blankardly. You know, you're blankardly. Who got in trouble for saying it? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I'm looking it up now.
I'm sure Richard will email me, but that's the problem, is that the freaking double standard of the world we live in today. You know what I mean? So
there's an actual Wikipedia definition for it.
I know.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
I played this earlier, but this is Olivia Jade, Lori Loughlin's daughter. She's talking about going to college, and this is her mom got busted in this whole scandal. This is one of the moms who was paying off people to get her daughter into the University of Southern California. Listen to what an enthusiastic young student this woman wanted to be.
And then the whole college thing, yep, I'm going. I'm living in a dorm with a roommate who's so sweet. With work, it's going to be hard. Like, my first week of school, I'm leaving to go to Fiji for work. And then
Man, for
I'll
work.
Be in New York
Fiji.
A bunch this year for work. and traveling to a different country because I'm creating something with this country, and that's for work. So I don't know how much of school I'm going to attend, but I'm going to go in and talk to my deans and everyone and hope that I can try and balance it all. But I do want the experience of like game days, partying. I don't really care about school, as you guys all know.
Wow. I'm with her, by the way. I applaud her honesty.
Yeah, that's true. She's very honest.
Very honest.
But I think that makes a lot of people very angry.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? But what kills me is, like, some people paid $500,000, and then other
mom did.
Right, but then other moms and dads paid, like, 13.
Well, there's an old saying, Dawn, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And so... her mom has the same genetic makeup as her, and I think her mom going, oh, like $500,000? Like, sure, like, I'll pay that. Some other guy's paying $13,000 and photoshopping his kid in a pony doing water polo. What the hell is water polo?
It's where you go Marco Polo.
That's what I always thought it was. I thought it was a pool game. When did it become simply now a college sport where you get scholarships to play it? Yes, I want to be a professional water polo player when I grow up. I play water polo. Tour the country playing water polo. Do they even have contests like that? Do they actually play games?
Yeah.
It's so stupid. They should shut college down. Like, I'm totally going to party, and, like, I don't know, hopefully the deans will be nice to me. Maybe, like, I'll sleep with one of them, and then, like, you know, like, maybe that'll be...
I don't think she said that.
Didn't she didn't say that? No, it was only an edited clip. I don't know if she said what she said in the other parts of the clip, so... Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon, why did they decide to sing the Archie Bunker theme song last night? Do you know?
They were discussing how the Trump administration loves to talk about, you know, the good old days when, you know, like the Archie Bunker days. You know what I mean?
So two idiots, they sang last night.
Yeah.
I think that it's not about the facts. It's about the feeling that he's trying to evoke. Things used to be better before, and then fill in the blank.
Your show.
Technology, again, I think he's on weak footing on that. Yeah. But, you know, before these newfangled industries, before this multiculturalism, before this everything is okay and everyone's equal, before let's make ourselves great again. I say to people all the time, when were we ever greater than we are today?
Boy. Hey, your brother. Whoa, stop it now. The Lesser. Hey, Lesser, your brother said America was never that great, remember? Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, the Lesser's brother, said, America, it was never that great. The Groupa stinks in this place. I can't get a fresh piece of Groupa to save my ass. This place is not that great. I'm going to have to finish with these two idiots tomorrow because we're almost out of time. Coming back from spring training tomorrow and hopefully flying on a jet that's not a Boeing. So that's good. Hopefully we can all hope for that.
If it starts nosediving, you know it's the wrong one.
No, hopefully, American pilots have to fly thousands and thousands of hours. So we have the strictest standards.
My pilot's from Bangladesh.
That's not true.
I get a Bangladesh.
And nobody wants to come out and say that,
Bangladesh,
but foreign pilots, like, they rode a bike, and they had like 100 hours. And we have to have thousands of hours. So there's a huge difference. And so your pilot's going to be safe. You're going to be fine.
By the way, the airport in Trenton, it's the Trenter Mercer Airport.
Which I love that airport.
You love that airport?
Yes.
It reminds me of a bus stop in Calcutta, but with planes. It's like a bus stop in Calcutta. There's chickens running around.
Stop.
There was an Ebola patient on the plane.
If you're up in that little restaurant getting French fries for the kids, they will come and find you, and they know it's your flight.
Oh, they did. There was a coup when I was there. They did come to find me.
Stop.
El Presidente ordered me in prison.
They're so nice and friendly.
There's buses, there's refugees, and then there's a plane. That's the airport at Trenton Mercer Airport.
It's a caravan.
It's not true.
Yeah. There was the UN Doctors Without Borders got on the flight. It was amazing. All right, Greg, let's do it.
Twitter brought to you by Fleming Defers. I'm going to give it to Wendy Mack. She says, Rich, when you give the maitre d' a 20, you're not competing against someone who gave him a 50. That
good point.
That comes from the feds. I'm sorry, I couldn't read it right. That comes from the feds.
That money comes from the feds. Good job, Wendy Mac. Good job. And thank you to Flemington Furs.
Yes.
Flemington's Furs sponsors Who Won Twitter. Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like.
Racioli 3-6. Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.